Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, the outrageous targeting of prominent and outspoken Muslim women by a sick platform called Bullybuy, which auctions their pictures and names. It appears to be an almost copycat of what happened last year with another app, the culprits of which are still at large. On the show tonight, targeted, objectified and auctioned online. Auctioned online their photographs. Will the culprits behind this horrific Bullybuy app be booked? Is this part of some sort of a conspiracy? Also on the show tonight, the surge in Omicron cases in India. Are we headed to a situation where our hospital facilities may be overwhelmed because of immense numbers, even though it appears so far that Omicron may be milder? But first, this report on the app that's targeted any number of Muslim women with the intention to objectify and to degrade.
Massive outrage after complaints about many Muslim women having been listed for quote-unquote auction on a dubious app with photographs lifted without consent. The Delhi police tweeted that they were investigating a case filed by journalist Ismat Ara, while Priyanka Chaturvedi, an MP from ruling Shiv Sena in Maharashtra, said a probe had been initiated in Mumbai.
ये मुद्दा हमारे पूरे देश के लिए शर्म की बात है और इसमें ध्यान देने वाली बात ये है कि जिन मुस्लिम औरतों के को इसमें निशाना बनाया जा रहा है वो सोशल मीडिया पे एक्टिव हैं, पत्रकार हैं, सोशल वर्कर्स हैं, पॉलिटिशियंस हैं. ये जो है इन औरतों की जो कि सरकार से सवाल करती हैं, जो कि इश्यूज को हाईलाइट करती हैं, उनकी उस आवाज को दबा देने की एक तरह से एक कोशिश है.
The app called Bullybuy was hosted on GitHub, a code-sharing platform that allows anyone to upload and share in-development software. The Bullybuy app appeared to be a clone of another app which triggered a massive controversy last year.
जब सबसे पहले ये सुली डील्स का मामला आया था तो मैंने इसके बारे में आईटी मिनिस्टर को लिखा था 30 जुलाई को. आज हमने पहली जनवरी को फिर से ऐसा एक साइट देखा जहां पे बुली डील्स के नाम से इनको किया गया. मैंने आईटी मिनिस्टर को फिर से रिक्वेस्ट की है कि आप जब तक ऐसे लोगों को जो महिलाओं को इस तरीके से उनके बारे में बात करते हैं, टिप्पणियां करते हैं, उन पे कार्रवाई नहीं करेंगे तो ऐसी घटनाएं वापस होती रहेंगी.
The Union IT Minister has tweeted that the Bullybuy creator has been blocked and that Computer Emergency Response Team or CERT and police authorities were coordinating further action. But opposition parties say that more needs to be done. They say the inaction by authorities last time has emboldened the offenders. With Mukesh Singer in Delhi, Bureau Report, NDTV.
What a sick, sick application. God knows what goes into the minds of people to want to do this. Why is this happening? What is this a part of? Joining us, a few of the women who've been targeted in this. We're also joined by political leaders. And we'll also be joined by the Maharashtra Minister for IT on the action which is being taken. Ismat Ara is a journalist with The Wire. Saima is an RJ. Hasiba Amin is a national convener with the Congress. Priyanka Chaturvedi of the Shiv Sena. Sartej Patel, the IT Minister of Maharashtra. Ruchir Verma is a cyber security expert. We're also joined by Geeta Bhatt, who supports the government, a political analyst. Ismat, let me come to you first. Do you believe that this is part of a conspiracy, deliberately targeting outspoken journalists or outspoken Muslim women? Ismat, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Sorry, can you repeat that?
Do you believe that this is part of a conspiracy where outspoken Muslim women, or for that matter, journalists like you, are being targeted? Is this a conspiracy? Is it part of something larger?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that is very true because this is not the first time, as we know, that something like this has happened. And also, if you look at the kind of women who have been made target to these attacks and harassment and abuse, you will see that these women are, they use social media to express politically and otherwise also. They question the government, they highlight issues that generally people do not want to talk about.
So there's a trend that you can see in the two times that it has majorly happened, even before this thing has happened, and we have seen that there has not been much action. There has been no action, in fact. There has been only assurances. And so far, even in this case, we are getting similar reassurances from the police. That women, other women who were victims of the last attempt, the last case had got. And it's also very important at the same time, like you said, that it's a pattern of, like you said, that it's a certain kind of women who are being targeted. And I have been saying this again and again that I'm here, there are many other women who are able to talk about it. But at the same time, we need to remember that there are many minor girls involved also. There are 16-year-old women who probably are not able to use other spaces in their life to express themselves. So social media is probably a safe sort of option for them to express themselves. Sure. And this very tool has become, dangerous.
It's absolutely horrific. Saima, is there a reason why you believe that you were targeted? Is it because of something that you said? Or do you just believe it's on the basis of your faith that you are known, that some creep decided to target you?
Vishnu, I think the pattern is very clear. I mean, somebody to even not overlook that would be a very pedantic thing to do. It's very clear. I mean, you are targeted because you are speaking up. You are targeted because you are a Muslim. You are targeted because you are a woman. And let's not mince words here.
Right.
6 months back in July, when the same thing happened, the thing was very clear. The pattern was very clear. They want to silence you. They want to show you your place. I mean, let's use these phrases. It's a very easy way. I mean, it is, I guess, the most popular way of silencing a woman.
Yes.
And the only thing that perhaps they don't realize is that, it only emboldens you. It only makes you more confident.
Yeah, you aren't being silent about this at all.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is not the culture that this country should ever, ever accept. 6 months back, what happened was shocking enough, and a lot of action should have been taken against it. But what really baffles me right now, Vishnu, and I have to say this, is it's been so many hours and we haven't heard a convincing reply by the government. One word of assurance that, the person
IT minister has replied. He says action is being taken.
Well, and that been taken down. I mean, that's no action at all. Will somebody from the government assure me that nothing of this is going to ever happen again?
Yeah.
And that the culprits will be booked, will be punished, will strictest action would be taken?
Sure.
No assurance from the government side. And that is extremely shocking.
You want to hear a lot more. Okay. Well, we've got the Minister of State for Home in the government of Maharashtra with us, Mr. Patil. Mr. Patil, can you provide not just the people on this platform, on this program, but people, women who are actually following this, children who may be victims themselves, that your government is going to target the people who have done this and bring them to justice in a finite period of time?
No, certainly, Vishnu. We have been very proactive as a state government, and we have already done an FIR. I wouldn't want to disclose the name of the complainant, because as per IPC 354, we don't want to disclose the name. So she has already come forward and filed an FIR. Priyanka ji has been very helpful in getting her to the police station and doing this thing. We have already informed the Twitter, but as Saima said, this thing had happened in July also.
Yes.
And the platform which you mentioned, GitHub, I think they should have come forward and given the information immediately.
Right.
Twitter's action of removing the content or blocking the ID is not of any help. Unless and until you get who is behind this, the code has to be given, the code has to be shared. And if you see the law, we have an MLAT treaty worldwide where this sharing of information is very necessary. But that's a lengthy process. We have to write to the central government. The central government has to write to it. The main question here is that as Mumbai Cyber, we have taken action. In 24 hours, we expect and reply from Twitter or GitHub platform also, which we are not getting. And I think the role in the this regard, central government's role is very important.
Sure.
Because we have a CERT institute which looks after all these issues. But unless and until central government is firm on this, and we as everybody has experienced the hate speeches which have been going on in this past 4 years. I think there was a NDTV survey only which said 49% hate speeches have increased in past few years.
Yes, we have a hate tracker. That's right, yes.
Hate track. I don't want to talk political, but still, I think the central government has to come clean on this and be proactive in this. If you see the letters written by our MP Priyanka, she has categorically stated in July that action has to be taken. We don't understand why the central government didn't act for this past 5 months.
Okay, let me try and get Geeta Bhatt in at this stage. Geeta ji, I think one of the saddest parts of this is that while it is true that the IT minister has responded and he has pointed out that one sort of site has been taken down, shouldn't there have been a more vociferous effort by the government at saying that this kind of behavior is unacceptable, that targeting women in this manner is unacceptable, that hitting out at women on the basis of their faith or what they say or the fact that they are outspoken is not what we are as Indians? Just a cursory tweet that says, oh, we are looking into this, is that enough?
Well, Vishnuji, you see where this, you know, internet and social media, they have given a platform, to raise various concerns and, freedom of expression. But at the same time, they have been used, for various nefarious activities, and women and children have been the first casualty of it.
Yes.
And this particular case where, the dignity of women has been targeted, it is extremely deplorable, has to be condemned, and action must be taken. Now, the IT minister, Mr. Vaishnav, has come out and, has informed that the particular site has been have blocked. And it seems that yesterday only the FIR has been lodged, and the Delhi police also has given information that they are investigating this case. So, and I would also like to put forth, Vishnuji, that, the amendment in the IT Act 2000, where it was, where the intermediaries, they are being held accountable for giving an information of the end user, whosoever is, putting forth such type of content within 24 hours. At that time also, there was a lot of objection that why this amendment is being brought. Because this is interference in the privacy.
And your point is it's for cases like this that the intermediary must be booked.
Yes, it is for cases like that. And this is the time that this must be used now for this purpose.
I think that concern earlier was in another context. But I do accept, Geeta ji, entirely the point that you make, that in a situation like this, if there is action against an intermediary, it makes a great deal of sense. Ruchir Verma, how difficult is it to ultimately track down the person or the group, the persons who are responsible for this, who operated through GitHub?
Yeah, Vishnu. So first of all, it's very often such kind of incidences happen and usually done by anti-social. Deliberately, it has some deliberate intention behind it. And in our language, we call it threat actor, hacker, or such kind of. So you usually, what we do, because we do not know where they are operating from, because whenever such kind of threat actor, antisocial element, whenever such kind of the activity does, they do it from outside in the usual scenario, which we have seen that. Because in India, it's sometimes, if they are doing it from the India, I mean, it's a general scenario, I'm just talking about usually, which has happened from the past experiences, right? So what they do, we do not know on what host they are, its server, it's uploaded with that particular app, what particular IP it is you've been using. So usually the modus operandi, it is happening from outside India. So yes, in the dark web, sometimes it's very, very difficult to track them out. Beside that, what we would suggest, being a cybersecurity expert and what we have dealt so far, always try to save the photographs that are most personal and do not upload any close-ups at the DP. Second, use...
But Ruchir, that becomes a problem. We on Twitter, the biggest problem is anonymous users. So those of us who put up profile, our pictures and all that, mean, if people stop doing that, then that causes all sorts of other problems. How does that make us better than those who tweet behind anonymous profiles and then also talk rubbish.
Yes, definitely. So, Vishnu, as I said earlier, it's very, very, you know, this issue is where we need to say, we have to put our picture on the DP, right? But very, very, very careful. You're talking about the one aspect. I'm talking about the second, which is very, very important aspect, because what has been done is done and police is definitely working on it. What I am talking about is how can we save such kind of incidences to happen in the future? So this is where I'm just putting on.
Okay. Right. So let's. Okay. All right. A couple of points. Priyanka, you wanted to come in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a huge problem with someone telling me what kind of DP to put, and if that DP is in any way a close-up or a side profile or something that makes a person look attractive or not so attractive, is open for sharing without any permission sought. And it's up for auctioning, it's up for commodifying, it's up for, demeaning that particular person. I find it extremely ridiculous. Why are these barriers being created for women? And I'm sorry, this is not just about all the women. This is about communal targeting.
Yes.
This is very special set of women who have spoken up despite all the odds, despite all the, I would say trolling coming their way. They have been speaking up. So this is not about their profiles. It is about their DP pictures, their profile pictures. It is about their profiles, that they belong to a particular community, they are women, and they are speaking up. So let's be very, very clear about this. And let's be honest about this, even if you want to get to the bottom of this.
Yep.
The second thing I find extremely problematic, which I think Satyaji has also categorically said, that something that I have been writing since July, we have been outraging about since July.
But nothing has been done in the last case.
Nothing was done. The last thing I'd want to say. Unfortunately, we have reduced positions of power like the women and child welfare ministry. Like Geeta ji said, women are the first ones, children are the first ones. But we do not have a women and child welfare minister who will speak up for the women of this country across board. We have an NCW chairperson who's push until she makes a point. So let's not reduce ourselves to our politics. Let's talk about problems that we see. And if we do not speak up, and for me, it was a sense of deja vu. If someone like me, when my family tells me, why are you going to the police to complain? I can totally imagine what these women must have gone through because they belong to the minority. They are being specifically targeted. I can totally imagine the stress that they must have gone through and the mental trauma they had gone through. So I felt it was something that it is a duty of every single woman to speak up in solidarity for them and work towards
making it reach a particular conclusion. That in the last 24 hours, this is perhaps the only or one of the few programs which has actually brought up this issue. It's not featured anywhere as a headline in the papers. It's not featured on it. It's not been a point of it's almost as if this is some sort of a new normal. And I think that's frightening. Haseeba, one of the saddest parts of this entire episode is that quite besides targeting women, these women for their views, it's also being done in this sick manner in which they are objectified, they are commodified, and the entire concept of an auction online, the exchange of money, is meant to demean in a deeply regressive manner. To me, that is the sickest part of all of this. Is that your sense as well?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I think one of the biggest, the purpose that they're doing, the objective that they're doing this with is to dehumanize Muslim women. And they want to, objectify us and harass us into such a place that we stop speaking up. Because like everyone else has also spoken about this, one of the most common thread between all the women who have been targeted are vocal women who have been raising their voice against the government or have been speaking truth to power, so to say. And, this is about harassing and pushing you to a corner and dehumanizing you so much that you stop speaking. And honestly, when this happened with me the last time, the Soli Deals incident, which happened the last time, I too, along with other women, toned down my social media presence or how much I used to raise my voice on social media did come down to quite an extent.
You felt and intimidated this happened with by many what other happened? You Sorry? Felt intimidated by what happened? And the reason I ask that is because there would be so many people, so many victims of this, who would feel the same. And there would be no justice for them as they suffer silently. And how tragic is that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just being intimidated. It's also, it just gets exhausting after a point, because we are also normal humans with a normal human life. You know, it's not, we are not just Twitter handles who are going to sit there and outrage all the time. It gets really tiring and exhausting after a point of time, because our families are disturbed. People around us are disturbed. Everybody is going through hell because of what is going on. And it's not fair that they have to go through all of that. Besides that, it's also really scary, because all of this is something that started off with, you know, digitally. When we see people who used to speak against the government, we see that there has been trolling which has been going on, which unfortunately shouldn't have been the case, but most of us women have gotten normalized to character assassinations and rape threats on social media right now. This has now moved into proper sexual harassment, because yes, what we are seeing through Bully, Bai and Sully deals was sexual harassment. What guarantee do we have by this government that tomorrow these people are not going to come out there and attack us physically? Sometime when we go out on the road, someone won't come and attack us. We have seen this happen with, for instance, lynching incidents. Yeah. It all started as social media posts, which became harassment online, which turned into real-life violence. How do we know this will not turn into real-life violence?
I take that point.
There are red flags out there. What is the government doing about it?
And I think a lot more needs to be said by the government. I'd like to thank you all for having the courage to actually come and speak about this with your identity and your DP very prominent on this program. And let's hope there is justice sooner than later. But it's going to be difficult from a technology standpoint. Let's hope that the government shows serious resolve. Thank you all very much for being with us. I'm going to move on to what is now a pressing concern, not just in India, but around the world, the threat of Omicron. We keep talking about this day after day after day, because the greater transmissibility of this variant of COVID means that at some stage, there's a very real possibility that our hospital facilities, our medical facilities may be overwhelmed. We are beginning to see that in some parts of the world. Let's hope that's not the case over here in India. Now, Omicron is perhaps the dominant COVID variant now in India. While the official number of Omicron cases in India is estimated to be nearly 1,500, in reality, it could be more than 10 times this official number, as high as 18,000, with the number shooting up every day. Now, India is following the rest of the world, which is facing galloping numbers of Omicron cases, which in some countries account for 90% of new cases. India's official numbers are so low because our country has very few testing labs or facilities that can check for genome sequencing, which is essential for all of us to be able to detect Omicron. Now, NDTV has had access to two labs that are able to test for Omicron, and the numbers tell a very different story to the official figures. Two major Omicron labs in Delhi and in Mumbai show that out of all COVID cases, Omicron is now as high as nearly 60%. Another Omicron lab in Mumbai, and it's also likely to show in its next report that Omicron is 60%. That's up from 37% just a week ago. Particularly alarming is the fact that Omicron cases are rising much faster than Delta, from about a 2% share of total COVID cases 2 to 3 weeks back. It's now shooting up to 30% a few days back, and it's now close to 60% of all COVID cases. During this period, the share of the Delta variant has fallen consistently, making Omicron already the dominant variant in India. Now, this is both good news and bad news for India. The good news is that Omicron causes less severe infections than Delta, and a higher percentage of Delta patients are hospitalized, with a higher percentage of deaths as well compared to Omicron. But the worrying news for India is that Omicron spreads much faster. It's estimated to be 4 to 5 times more infectious than the Delta variant. Think about it, 4 to 5 times. Now, this suggests that if this third wave does accelerate like it has across the rest of the world, India could see between 16 to 20 lakh cases every day at its peak, compared with the 4 lakh Delta cases that India had at the peak of our second wave. Now, this would place an unimaginable and an unmanageable strain on our medical system, hospital beds, oxygen cylinders, doctors, and the availability of medicine. This is because even though a fewer percent of Omicron cases are likely to be hospitalized, the number of cases and infections are so much larger. For instance, if only 6 out of 100 Delta cases need hospitalization and only half that, say 3 out of 100 Omicron cases need hospitalizations, then the second wave peak of 4 lakh Delta cases resulted in about 24,000 hospital admissions. But in the third scenario, in the worst scenario, in fact, the third wave peak of 20 lakh Omicron cases would result in between 40 to 60,000 Omicron hospitalizations per day. Now, India's medical infrastructure was close to breaking point during the second wave of Delta, with potentially nearly three times that number of hospitalizations under Omicron. Possibly now, India could be facing a massive health crisis. The one positive we can hope for is that the Omicron wave, though much worse than the Delta wave, may not last as long as the Delta wave. Data from South Africa shows that Omicron waves may tend to both spike faster and die away quicker than Delta waves. Nevertheless, India does not appear to be preparing itself for what, at its worst, could be a terrible third wave ahead. We must prepare, and we must prepare now.